So as Mr. Armstrong used to start some of his messages, he'd say, "Why are we here?" Well, I have a little bit different question. I'm going to ask, seeing as this is the offertory, why does God want us to give an offering? We could think back, and we were talking about this last evening about when the church went off track and some of the leaders that we knew and what's become of them now. They started to make changes back in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s. And I'm not exactly sure just when this happened, but I remember when they made this change, they were going to go away from the tithe, and they said we'd just give an offering now. And I had a friend at services where we attended, and afterwards we were talking, and he thought, well, this is a good idea, because now we can give as much as we want, as though we hadn't been given offerings before, or as though God limited us because of the tithe only being 10% or something like that. It really is nonsense, but that's kind of reasoning people could use. So what I'd like to do before I answer this question, I'd like to just reveal a little bit the difference between the tithes and the offerings. So if we turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, we'll look at this. And we always turn to this during the holy day offerings. It says, verse 16, "Three times a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place that he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." In verse 17, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." So God isn't saying to just give everything. He's saying give it as you're able to. So we can turn back just a page and a couple pages here to Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. I'll read here. "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed with the field that the field bringeth forth, year by year." And this was, "and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose to place his name there." So this is talking about when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we've saved up a tithe to go there. But this is a tithe definitely different from an offering. God has us setting that aside for the feast in this case. So, if we read verse 23, the last part of it, let's see. Well, I'll just read the whole verse. "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, and the tithes of the corn, the wine and the oil and the firstlings of the herds and of the flocks. And now that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." So in this case, we're to learn to fear God by giving these tithes or using this tithe in this way. Now, we don't need to turn to Psalm 128, but it talks about that blessing. There's just six verses in that psalm, and it talks about the blessing, and that we're blessed. It says, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord." So obviously, we'd have to be doing the tithing to be blessed. God does bless us for doing those things. So that's a bit different from the offering. And in Malachi 3, verse 8, we can turn to there. Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." So it doesn't just say offerings, it doesn't just say tithes, it says tithes and offerings. So there's definitely a difference between the two, or God wouldn't have had that inspired to be put in that way. So now I'd like to turn to scripture in Mark, chapter 12. This is talking about where Christ was there, and the widow who gave more than everyone else, and there's just one other place. It's in Luke 21, verse 1 to 4. That's a similar account, but we'll read this one in Mark here, starting in verse 42. Says, "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which was a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." It's interesting, when I was going through this, in my margin, I've got a companion Bible, and it talks about, well, some of the words here. It says, for all, it says the whole, or for living, for instance. This really kind of grabbed me. It says life. And that, being as we just had the Passover service, it just really made me think about, I mean, Christ was pointing out this widow lady and what she gave, but it made me think of the comparison, like what Jesus Christ went through, the suffering he went through. And really, didn't he give us everything he had? You could say, you know, he cast in his whole life. So, it just made me think, I mean, what is it that God wants from us in giving an offering? You know, obviously it's not the monetary amount that we give, because this lady didn't give more than everyone else in the value of the money that she gave. So obviously it was the attitude that she had that Jesus Christ was pointing out. And if we think about the attitude that he had, you know, he gave us everything he had. When you consider he created us, and God the Father used Jesus Christ to create all things, it says. So, and here, man whom he created, put him to death in such a miserable way, that he was willing to give everything that he had for us, so we'd have an opportunity. And I thought at times in the past, I thought, well, what is it for God to give us things, because he's got everything. You know, we can't give the way he does, because we don't have everything. We can't create things from nothing. But yet, in a way, you know, I've thought about it in a sense almost as though God couldn't understand what it's like for us to give, because we're limited, so limited. And yet, when you consider this, that he gave us, he really gave us everything he had through Jesus Christ and the suffering he went through. Because what more could a father give? He was willing to give up his son in this sense so that we could have life and that we could learn to be like he is. And that's what he's doing with us now. He's trying to teach us to be like he is. So why does God want us to give an offering? I think it's most likely the biggest thing of it is because he wants us to have an attitude like he has, willing to give everything. Not all of our money, of course, but in the sense of our lives, what else do we have to give? He gave us everything, and if we can become like him, learn to be like him, and he can use us in the future to teach all of mankind, like was mentioned in the opening prayer, all the people that have ever lived, all the people, our friends and family that have died already and gone before us, and the ones living now. I mean, what an opportunity God has given us. So to give an offering and to be able to take part in this, it's just a wonderful thing. And it just seems to me like it means a whole lot more to understand what God really wants from us. And it's just the attitude, being willing to give him everything we have. So now we'll take up an offering, and there'll be offering music, and it'll be it's called Journey West by Renee Schwab, and it'll be performed by Rochella Gardner.